We've been talking about the two sides of sin. And for any latecomers, what I mean by that is that in the Garden of Eden, we know that that's where sin originated. We understand that there is an original sin. And then the scriptures talk about the sin nature. The original sin really speaks to the issue of not believing in God, not trusting in God, or beginning to think that you can be like God. And that original sin is the sin that carries a condemnation with it. It comes with it a sentence of death. And so when a person makes a decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that death sentence, to use a legal term, is vacated and is replaced with the imputation of righteousness. And we've talked about this over the last couple of weeks, so I don't want to really spend much time talking about this idea of original sin. The idea of original sin is that every person is born with it. It's something, you know, you may feel like, well, I didn't deserve it because I didn't do it. I didn't eat that darn apple in the Garden of Eden. But point is that it's clear that through the scriptures and throughout the last 2,000 years in terms of understanding, or 4,000 years of understanding the Word of God, the Old Testament, the New, that this concept of original sin is real. So everybody's born with it. But I'll tell you what, every person who said, Jesus, come into my life, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, has had that sentence of condemnation, that sentence of death removed. And in place, we have his imputed righteousness. You know, just as Adam and Eve imputed death upon it. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. Can we be honest with that? We didn't do that. We didn't do the deed. But in the same way, Jesus imputed his righteousness on us, and we are born again. We are saved and delivered. Amen? And so when we talk about original sin, that's what we're talking about. What makes the original sin so unique is that it was a direct disobedience right from the mouth of God. Remember, God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you do, what's going to happen? You shall die. You shall surely die. And of course, we understand, we've talked about this before, that we're not only was he talking about a physical death, because I believe that Adam and Eve were intended to live forever with God in the Garden of Eden. Remember, the Garden of Eden is a type of heaven. And so just as we're going to live forever with him in heaven, Adam and Eve were supposed to. That was God's plan. That was God's intent. But then they broke the commandment. Thou shalt not eat of this particular tree. And we know that they were tempted and they were seduced and they were tricked and they were deceived. But nevertheless, they did the deed and therefore they had to pay the price. And the price, unfortunately, extended to all of mankind. And so the only way that there's deliverance from the curse of the Garden of Eden, the curse of original sin, is through the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. Now, when we understand that we are not under condemnation, then it better enables us to be able to run the race with God. Because if I am constantly under the thought that I am not saved, that I am not born again, that I am not delivered from death, then I will always be doubting whether God truly loves me or not. In other words, the enemy of my soul, the devil, Satan, demons, whatever term you'd like to use, is going to be able to create doubt in me, just as he did in the Garden of Eden, in terms of the faithfulness of God. And so when I've established, when I have the assurance of eternal life, when I have the assurance of salvation, what I'm going to find is that that will enable me to walk or run the race or whatever term you'd like to use in terms of living and overcoming life in the world today. Now, I know that comes in different places for different people. I remember as a brand new Christian, I was born again. It happened one night at the Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. Dave Wilkerson was the speaker. Dallas Holm in Praise was the band that was there. And that's pretty old. You know, they didn't even have electricity then. But nevertheless, I made a decision to receive Jesus into my life. And I can tell you that in the next month or two, I must have thought I was saved. And the next day, oh man, I'm lost. The next day, I'm saved. And the next day, I'm lost. And here's why. Because when I would sin, when I would do things that I knew that God didn't want me to do, I thought I lost my salvation. And see, that is the trick, and that is the strategy of the enemy to convince you and to cause doubt to come into your life. But what you need to understand is that the penalty is for the original sin. The cause of original sin was not believing in God or through Jesus Christ. And so when we make a decision to receive Christ, then it needs to be settled and established inside of us. And I realize that everyone has to go through a process to get there, but there's got to come a place where you just realize, I'm born again. Hallelujah. I can make a mistake. God has put someone in me to help me to walk out the life that he's called me to walk out. God has given me, because of that decision that I made, God has enabled me to overcome sin in my life. You see, before I received Jesus in my life, I'm hopeless and lost. But now that I am born again, I've received Jesus into my life. He's placed his Holy Spirit in me. I have the means within me now to overcome the sin that besets me. Come on, we're all different. We're all dealing with stuff. Can I tell you, I've been born again for 38 years. Long time. I'm not perfect. I know, Norman, it's hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe. But the thing is, you know, I still mess up. I sin. You know, I may sin in thought. You know, the deeds aren't so much a problem anymore, but I sin in thought. You know, I have the wrong attitude. You know, I get upset with my wife and I yell at her. No, I don't yell at my wife. She just perceives me yelling. I'm not yelling. She just perceives it that way. But nevertheless, you understand what I'm saying? And of course, you know, when we're new believers, we have a lot to overcome. Amen. You know, we may be addicted. We may be abused. We may be abusers. We may be filled with unforgiveness and hate. And we had all this junk in us. And it takes time to work through that stuff. But the thing is, the only time you're going to get victory, the only place you're going to get victory is if you're in the position, you know, I'm going to heaven. And that these things are things that God's going to work out on my life as I read his word and get to know him in a closer way. And as I allow his Holy Spirit to lead me in this new life that I have. Because there's a difference between original sin and the sin nature. We all have a sin nature. Oh, and that sounded real manly. But we all have a sin nature. In the idea of that is that we have a tendency to make bad choices. You see, in the Garden of Eden, God created mankind, and he created mankind with the intent that man would make a choice, make a decision to love God. God is worthy to be loved. He's worthy to be worshipped. But understand that whenever you give a person choice, if it's going to be free choice, there's always a potential they're going to choose wrong. They're going to choose to fulfill themselves instead of fulfill what God is calling them to do or say or in a way to behave. And so the sin nature is a result of our ability to make choices. Now, think about this. If God did not give you the ability to make a choice, we wouldn't be having this conversation today. But then again, we'd all be clones, wouldn't we? We'd be like little robots, little slaves, you know, not free to make choices. But instead, he gave us the ability to make choices. And in that ability is the potential that we're going to choose wrong, because instead of looking at what would Jesus want me to do? What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? Instead, we think, I want. I don't care what people think. They tick me off. They deserve this. You know, revenge and all kinds of hateful thoughts and things begin to rise up in us. And then what does the devil do? He condemns you and says, how can you say you love God? How can you possibly think that you're going to go to heaven? And then we fall into a depressed state. We get distressed, depressed, defeated. So we need to settle once and for all that when I make a decision to receive Jesus and I abide in him, I'm not just doing lip service. I'm not just saying things so I can get into the club. But I am saying things that I mean from my heart, and I will endeavor to pursue in my relationship with him. So the sin nature has to do with, can we put the quick slideshow? I know you hate slideshows, but sometimes it's the only way I can show things. Walking in the Spirit is the remedy. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And we've all familiar with that scripture. We know what happens before and what happens after. It's a very, we preach on this a lot. But there are a couple of key words here that we need to make sure we understand. And that is that we're not walking according to the flesh. What is walking according to the flesh versus what is walking according to the Spirit? And so let's see if we can begin to take a look at this. Again, if you've been at Reach Out before, this is probably something you have seen before. And this simply represents the tripart or the triune nature of man. You are body, you are soul, and you are spirit. The intersection of each of those circles are known as Venn diagrams for the mathematicians here. But the intersection represents places where there's communication. So right here represents the body-soul communication. Now, when I mean soul, what I'm talking about is your personality, your ability to think, and very importantly, your ability to make choices. This is where your will is. You know, we tend to think of this is the brain, you know, but it's a little bit more than that because it's connected to the body, and the body is connected to the world around us. And so there's the body receives input from the world, transmits it to your soul, to your brain, if you will, and your brain processes it, makes certain decisions, and then you tend to do what you decide to do. Now, you are also a spirit, but if you're not born again, that spirit is in neutral. It's there. You know, it can be influenced by spiritual things, but the point is the body soul area, that's what the Bible calls the flesh. Physical world. So when the flesh is at work, it's like, my wife made eggplant parmesan for me this week. She must have made me 2 pounds of it. For 3 days, I had eggplant parmesan for lunch and dinner. And I'd parcel it out so that it wouldn't run out. You know, my theory is you cut thin slices, you know, and you have many thin slices. It's not the same as cutting one big slice. But my point is that, and you know, this is a weakness that I have. I think she puts crack in it or something, you know. But I have a weakness for Dee's eggplant parmesan. And I think about it, you know. Now listen. That's what's going on right here. Whoops, I went too far. That's body soul. You know, I see it. And then when I see it, my mind perceives it and it can imagine what it tastes like. You know what I mean? And then I look at it and I think about the texture of it. You know, when it's a little bit overdone, you know, the crispy part, you know, the cheese. Oh, yeah, you understand what, yeah. You know, so my point is, all right, everybody with me here? Okay, can we do the same thing, you know, as a guy, can I do the same thing about looking at a woman? Yeah, I can. Can I do the same thing at looking at a car? Yeah, I can. You know, I can just, you know, the Bible uses the word lust. And we think of the word lust in sexual connotation, but it's not sexual. It's an attitude of the heart. I gotta have it. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. And so here's the things that we're dealing with. And very often when we come to Christ as new believers, we have a lot of stuff in our lives that we feel like we can't even control. You know, you put eggplant parmesan in front of me, my wife's in particular, she can ask me anything, I'll do it. You know what I'm saying? You know, she should stand on street corners, you know, parceling out little pieces of eggplant parm, you know, and who knows, you know. But nevertheless, I'm overdoing it here, but we also have a spirit, and the spirit is able to communicate with our mind as well, what we're calling the soul. But here's the most important part. The moment you are born again, now the Holy Spirit is made alive. Remember, the Bible says you were dead in Christ because you didn't believe in Him. But now that you believe in Him, you are alive in Him. And as a result of being alive in Him, the Holy Spirit is able to communicate with your spirit man. And your spirit is able to communicate with your soul. In other words, now if I abuse my eggplant addiction, I get convicted. You know, because I know that the Bible says that nothing should control my life. Is it being ridiculous, eggplant? You know, but I'm such a goody two shoes, you know, but that's all I can come up with. But nevertheless, the Holy Spirit now begins to infiltrate our spirit. We are abiding in the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is abiding in us. And all of a sudden, the things that I've read come to my mind. And all of a sudden, I am convicted, or I'm challenged, or I am convinced that I need to cut back on my eggplant parm. And now I am in a position where I can make a decision. You know, matter of fact, I told Dee this week, I said, I've been sated by my eggplant parm. I don't make any more for a while. Didn't I say that, Dee? Yes, I did. Yeah. So here we go. But if she really loves me, she'd ignore me. No. No, here we go. I don't want to, you know, humor is fun, but sometimes it causes us to get off track. So let's get back on track. So here we've got this connection. There's the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit now is, you know, speaking to our spirit. Holy Spirit is speaking to our spirit. Our spirit is communicating with the soul, and now the soul can make some decisions, new decisions, based upon new input, based upon new data, data that comes from the Word of God, and data which comes from the Holy Spirit, who is able to speak to us in our spirit. And so we begin to make new decisions. The Bible calls this transformation. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the world. See, that's what the flesh wants. What the flesh wants is to look like the world. I want to dress like people in the world. I want to look like people in the world. I want to act like people in the world. But what does the Bible say? It says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the word renewing, it's a process. It's a process where all of a sudden you begin to understand truth, and you begin to realize that really what's most important in my life is love, peace, and joy. If I've got those three things, everything else will just fall into place. I thought I wanted money. Come on, we still think we want more money, right? How much is more? You know, David Rockefeller once said, you know, when he was asked the question, you know, well, you know, how much more do you need? And his comment was, $1 more. I need $1 more. Money will not make you happy. Will it ease your situation? Yeah. It can ease your situation. But, you know, you can still be twisted, unhappy, under guilt and condemnation, and have all the money in the world. What you need is to know that the creator of this universe, the one who spoke it all into existence, loves you. He adores you. He's got a plan for your life. That's what it says in the Word. He says, I've written things down that I'm planning for you to do, even before you were born.
Hallelujah.
See, God is not some mysterious force out there. You know, I missed out on a Halloween party yesterday, or not a harvest party, I should say. And I understand that there were a lot of Star Wars people there. The Force be with you. You have a force. And His name is Jesus. And His call to us, His call to you, is to abide in Him, to press into your relationship with Him. And what you will find is that you will have victory over the sin nature. You will have victory in making the wrong choices. God is for you. He's not against you. Amen? And if He's for you, then who can stand against you? That's what God's Word says. And so I want to encourage you this morning that, you know, that Paul, the Apostle Paul, understood this very same thing. In Romans chapter 7, verse 19, remember that's where we're, and we talked about this, I think, last week, that Paul's having this argument with himself. You know, I wind up doing the things I don't want to do, and the things that I want to do are the things that I don't do. How many people can relate to that? Listen to what he says in 7:19. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now here's the key though. Verse 20. Now if I do what I will not to do. In other words, if I wind up doing what I choose not to do, then he makes a statement. It is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. You see, it's that sin nature in us that has a tendency to want things in the world. You know, in 1 John, it says that the things in the world are, you know, the way people are attracted to the things of the world is through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In other words, we see things and we want it. You know, have you ever been, you know, sometimes I'll go into Best Buy, you know, just a real quick story, and I discover things I never knew I wanted until I saw it. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? I didn't know I wanted that. You know, I remember when the first time we had a car that had heated seats. Most of you probably have a car with heated seats, but I don't know. I can't live without it now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but the thing is that what the world does, it appeals to our pleasure senses. See things, feel things, begin to think, I'm special, I'm great, I'm wonderful. I need my own celebrity show. Do you know what I'm saying? But that's what the world does. The world dictates, you know, Madison Avenue dictates what it is that will make us happy. And all along, God is saying, you got to begin with me. Begin with me. Trust me. And I will bring love, and peace, and joy, and happiness into your life. You see, happiness depends upon the circumstances. But joy is something that depends upon knowing Him. Amen? And so I want to encourage you this morning. You know, we're running out of a little bit of time here. But listen, two sides of sin. Original sin over here, dealt with at the cross of Calvary. The sin nature, being dealt with by the Holy Spirit in your life. But you can't be here until you've been here first. Amen? You see, when you've been born again and change comes into your life, that's regeneration. But if you're not born again, then what you have is rehabilitation. I'm going to change my habits. Well, your habits will remain changed until you reach a crisis. And then when that crisis comes, you fall back to your old ways. But what God says is that your old ways are dead. They're gone. When you bring back the old stuff, you're resurrecting the dead. But we are new creations in Christ Jesus. And you can't do it without His Word, and you can't do it without His Holy Spirit in your life. And the way you integrate that is you abide in Him, in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand with me now? Hallelujah. There used to be a Canadian show. I know Carl's aware of it, and some of you may have seen it too. It's called the Red Green Show. And it's about this Canadian geezer. And I'll never, you know, and I'll never forget the very end of it. Because at the end of every show, there's a pledge. And I only remember part of the pledge, but it is a pledge made by men. And it ends with, "And we can change." You can change. The power of the Most High abides in you. And it's just a matter of turning to Him and asking Him, "Help me, Jesus." That's all you got to say. "Help me, Jesus. Help me to overcome this temptation." Word's clear. God's given us a way out of every temptation. And what you'll find is that over the process of time, you'll change. Dee and I have been married for a long time. She's only 4 years old when I married her. The point is that she's not the person I married. And I hope I'm not the person that she married. Because when we came to Christ, 10 years into our marriage, we both came to Christ. Change began to take place. And what God brings, He blesses. He blesses. He blesses in ways you can't imagine. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You for the presence of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, the presence of Your Holy Spirit, which brings freedom, which breaks chains, which unhooks just bad habits that are destructive to ourselves. And Lord, helps us to see ourselves in a new light, that we are not worthless. We are not hopeless. We are not useless. But we are sons and daughters of the Most High. And that Your plan for each and every one of us is that we would learn to worship You, that we would learn to love You, that we would learn to obey You, because it's only in that relationship that Your blessings are poured out. You bless that which You approve. And so, Lord, I thank You for this morning. I ask You to bless every person here. Lord, just help them to walk the walk. Lord, it's challenging being a Christian, especially in this day and age. It's difficult. But greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And so nothing is impossible because of You abiding in us and us abiding in You. And so, Lord, bless each person here. Bless every family represented by each person here. And we just thank You. And Lord, we look forward to going out into this day, Lord, and rejoicing at those that made a decision to follow You this morning. Rejoicing over those that have come to a greater realization that You are able. You are more than able. You raised Jesus from the dead. You can raise us to new life as well. And so, Lord, we thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.